We have been talking about learning how to make right decisions. We talked about we can get to the place of making the right decision every time. No matter how far out that seems, we can get to that place. But we have to incorporate the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God, it's not this voice that you hear, although God can speak to us, but the wisdom of God is a part of the anointing that He releases in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And by virtue of operating in that wisdom, we can have a knowing on the inside. Not the artificial knowing that we can create with our emotions, but a genuine knowing of what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And then we have to couple that wisdom with patience and not let our emotions push us forward, but like we read this morning, be still and know that I am God. Be willing to sit and appear inactive to everybody else, but to God, we're being very active on a spiritual level. Well, tonight, what we want to do is we're kind of done talking about the decision aspect, but this message tonight kind of ties into it. You'll understand as we go further. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, look here in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, or helpeth us when we're dealing with infirmities. What are infirmities? Well, let's just say, the struggles that we have with the flesh, when the flesh wants to do its thing, the voice of the strange woman, as we've learned. He helps us with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And how true is that? How many times, I don't know exactly what to pray, God. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray for things because we don't know how we should pray for everything that takes place. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or cannot be uttered in a known language. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God, or according to God's will. So we know then if we pray in tongues, what we're doing is we are allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us according to God's perfect will. Now here's what's interesting. A lot of people would wonder, why do I need that? I mean, why does the Holy Spirit need me to put vocal cords and lips to His prayers? Very briefly. It's because when God created the natural universe, He gave humanity authority in this realm. We are the authority in this world. Now, some people would say, it's God. He's the authority. Well, you know what? If that were true the way people say it, then Adam would never have been allowed to eat that fruit. If that were true the way people say it, do you really think Satan would be messing people's lives up the way he is? I mean, if God were truly the authority the way some people say he is, and if God were really the authority the way people say, then wouldn't everybody on planet Earth be born again? Well, he is the authority to the extent we allow him to be the authority in our lives. Now, along with that authority comes our ability to speak and make things happen. And we'll talk about this here in just a moment. But, for example, when, Elijah? No, Ezekiel was having the vision. The valley of the dry bones. Remember that? And God said, speak to the bones. And so he told Ezekiel what to say. And then Ezekiel said it, and when he said what God wanted said, then the dry bones became undry. they went back together and they became an army, as he said. Well, see, in a way, that's a type and shadow of us praying in tongues, because Here's Ezekiel. He's looking at the dry bones. Well, he doesn't know what to do, but God tells him what to do, what to say, and he says it. Well, here I am. I don't know what to pray for as I ought, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, think of it like this. God tells the Holy Spirit what I need to pray. Well, then I begin praying in tongues, but it's a language I don't understand. But what's happening is the Holy Spirit is passing through my spirit the words I'm supposed to speak. And as I am speaking these words, then change is taking place. Are you understanding this concept? So therefore, as I'm praying in tongues, I am using my authority to release the perfect will of God for my life and relative to what he wants to see done here in this world. So the Holy Spirit helps me to pray for things when I don't know how to pray about them, because he prays the perfect prayer through me, using my authority to make declarations, kind of like in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be, and there was. Well, I pray in tongues, and I say, let there be, and because what I'm saying originated with God, then things begin to happen. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's just take a look here at just a like 3-4 verses, whatever. Verse 2. For he that speaketh or prays in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Well, what is it that I'm prophesying? I'm prophesying out of my spiritual edification. I have been edified spiritually to be able to speak forth edification to the church. And then in verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now look over in Jude. Jude chapter 1. Of course, there's only one chapter. And verses 20 and 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So here I see that as I'm praying in tongues, I am building myself up on my most holy faith, but along with that, I'm keeping myself in the love of God. And over in, I think it's Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says that faith worketh by love. So the Holy Spirit is helping me to be built up. Well, we read over there in 1 Corinthians 14 how that when I pray in tongues, I'm edifying myself. I'm speaking mysteries. My spirit is praying. And now I see I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. Well, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, one verse, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, the more I hear the Word of God, the more faith is coming. The more I get into the Word of God and I'm reading it, you know, I'm the sower, sowing the Word and so forth, well, faith is being developed on the inside of me. Now turn over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And here in Mark chapter 11, look at verse 23. Well, back up to verse 22. Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he says, have faith in God. I mean, really this is saying, have the faith of God in operation in your life. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It's pretty simple, right? Now look over in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All right, let's think of what we've been reading here. We have read that when we pray in tongues, we are praying the absolute perfect will of God. We're reading here in Scripture how that, for the most part, I don't know how to pray concerning everything. Oh, I know how to pray about a lot of things, but I don't know how to pray about everything. So the Holy Spirit, He works in me, through me, to make up the difference. So when I pray in tongues, then what happens is, I am praying the absolute perfect will of God. You know, for James, it talks about, you know, have not because you ask not, you ask amiss, so on and so forth. Well, when you're praying in tongues, it is impossible to pray amiss. It is impossible to speak outside of God's divine will and His perfect holy will for your life and ministry. So I know then that when I pray in tongues, I'm praying the perfect will of God. I also know that when I pray in tongues, I'm not speaking to people. I'm not speaking to humans because no one on this earth is going to understand me. Oh, I know if God gives the interpretation, but as far as languages are concerned, nobody on earth understands me because I am in direct, divine, holy, spirit-to-spirit communication with Almighty God. I cannot do it that way simply by praying with the understanding. I am praying out of my spirit by the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a language that is restricted to the things of God and to God. And listen, no matter who you hear say what, Satan does not understand tongues. Because if I pray in tongues and I'm speaking in tongues and God says no man understands me, well, I'll guarantee you he's not going to give Satan an advantage over me. No, Satan does not understand tongues when you pray in tongues. So I know that when I'm praying in tongues, I'm speaking directly to God and I'm praying mysteries. Well, what mysteries? I'm praying out the things that I don't fully understand. You know, God, I don't, you know, this and that and things about the Bible and what all. And God says, well, you need somebody to teach you, which is what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be to you. So as you're praying in tongues, your spirit is now in His classroom and He's teaching you. There is divine communication going on and you're praying out the mysteries of those things that you don't fully understand. I also see in Scripture how that when I'm praying in tongues, I'm edifying myself spiritually. I'm developing on the inside. I see how that when I'm praying in tongues, my understanding, meaning my ability to mentally by myself understand what I'm saying is unfruitful because I'm speaking in a language that does not originate with man. I'm speaking in a language that originates with God. So I'm praying in tongues, and as I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is praying. This is why I can pray in tongues and I can be thinking about the football game. I can be thinking about vacation. I can be thinking about all kinds of things, but my spirit is interacting with God. My spirit is praying. I've also seen here in Scripture how that when I'm praying in tongues, I am building myself up on my most holy faith. And so therefore, since I'm supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, praying in tongues is enabling me to do that in a way that other things will not. I also see in Scripture that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, if I eliminate the Word of God from my life, then how can faith come? Faith does not come by virtue of car wrecks and sickness and disease and injury and so forth, even though a lot of people say that. Well, you know, my faith was really developed. because of that car wreck. No, it wasn't. I mean, you might have used faith during the car wreck, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I know this is true. I get into the Word, and I'm reading the Word. Well, faith is coming. It's coming. And I also know, by virtue of what I have read in the Word of God, that as I begin to operate in faith, I can speak things and they will happen. And I pray and I get answers. Now, we just read this now, all of us in here, we just read this. It's right there in Scripture, the Word of Jesus. You know, when you speak to the mountain, believe, and you'll have what you say. Don't doubt. Don't doubt, but you'll have what you say. And then, when you stand praying, believe that you receive what you pray for, and you'll have what you pray for. There it is, right there in the Word. And then along with that, I see how that in Jesus' name, I'll cast out devils. And not only will I cast out devils, but if perchance I accidentally drink something poisonous, it's not going to hurt me. That's amazing. Yeah. Have you ever seen those videos of people in those churches drinking strychnine? Yeah, that's just, I mean, thank God for His divine protection. And then like the snake handlers too, you know, they take up serpents. Have you seen those people? Oh my goodness, that's not what that passage is talking about, okay? But I also see how that I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All right, now, all of these things are either true or they aren't. There cannot be any gray area in this. Every passage we've read here so far, it's either true or it's not true. Now, we all say God's word is truth. God cannot lie. Let's be honest. Don't we sometimes wonder what's really going on? Because we're not seeing the kind of results that we're supposed to be seeing. I mean, I'm praying in tongues, pray, tongues. And okay, where's the faith I'm supposed to be developing? Read the Bible. Where's the faith that's supposed to be coming? Praying in tongues. How come I don't know any more about the will of God than what I know? And not only that, but, you know, how come people aren't getting healed when I lay hands on them? And how come things I speak don't come to pass? Now, this is the kind of stuff we don't want to talk about publicly, but it's the kind of things we wonder about. Especially like, you know, you pray for somebody, they don't get healed, they die. It's like, this isn't good. It's not supposed to happen that way. Well, what do we do? You know? How do we handle this? Because we don't want to talk about the fact that that's what goes through our mind. We don't want to talk about the fact that this is my life. And I don't know where all the stuff is that's supposed to be happening that I read about in Scripture. And I'm not going to call God a liar, but yet my life is not what I'm reading in the Word. What's the deal here? You know, somebody was sick and I prayed for them and they didn't get healed. And let's face it, we get frustrated, right? Get frustrated. Well, I have a question for you. How are you going to know when somebody's going to get healed and when they're not? Here's what I mean. Yesterday, I prayed for Ralph. Ralph didn't get healed. Well, today, Bob wants me to pray for him. Okay. Based on what happened yesterday with Ralph, Bob ain't going to get healed. Come on now. But we don't want Bob to know that, right? So,
So we lay hands on Bob. Oh, Bob, in the name of Jesus, I call you healed. Amen, brother. You got to believe, brother. You got to believe. Amen. How you feel, Bob? Feeling better? You got a lack of faith there. I'll go for somebody. You know what I'm saying? Come on. After a while, when this happens over and over again, don't you kind of wonder if it's worth it? Is it really going to happen? You tell yourself you believe the Word of God, but then there's something on the inside of you that says, no, you don't. Because things aren't happening. You confess, but you don't see it come to pass. You pray, and you don't see it happen. And yet, you've got sweat of faith running down your face through your prayers. Yes, amen. I believe, I believe, I believe. And it doesn't happen. Okay, well, how are you going to know when it's going to happen? You ever wonder about that? How are you going to know when it's going to happen? Well, it didn't happen yesterday. Didn't happen the day before. Didn't happen last week. In fact, it ain't ever happened. Okay, but how are you going to know when it's going to happen? How will you know? Why? Are you going to wake up some morning with, you know, some kind of feeling? It's like, oh, wow, I never felt this before. That must mean I have faith. And now people will get healed. I think I'll go look for some sick people. I think I'll go down to the mental hospital and look for some insane demon-possessed people and cast some things out. Because I feel it now. No, yeah. Look out, devil. Here I come. I mean, a feeling? Or? Like a voice from heaven. Remember Jesus? He gets baptized, comes out of the water. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then here comes the Holy Ghost, right? Are we waiting for a voice to say, you are my beloved son or daughter? Today is the day. From this time forward, it will work. Oh boy, this is great. How are we going to know? And quite frankly, it would really be nice if we did get that feeling. And it'd be even better if the house shook from that voice. That's not going to happen. Well, could it happen? But it's not going to happen. So how are we going to know? You just have to keep doing it. You have to believe that God is not a liar. We have to believe that this works. We have to believe that if Jesus said, he said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. All right? That's the word. But I'm not seeing his works. Well, does that mean that he was wrong? No. We have to believe that these things are true. We have to believe that these things will happen. We have to believe that this is what God wants because he's in heaven, Jesus is in heaven, we're it, and he wants to work through us. We have to believe this is what he wants to do. So then the question is, well, how come it's not working then? How come, you know, and then we want to like start trying to blame God without really blaming him? In other words, this is what we don't say. I know I'm ready, and I know that I'm qualified, and I know that I am approved of God, so for some reason, he's not using me, even though I'm quite usable. That's not what we say, and we're half afraid to even think such a thing. But the truth is, let's be honest, we kind of feel like He ought to be using me. I mean, I can pretty well tell why he's not using you, but he ought to be using me. I mean, I wouldn't use you either, but I would use me. So, what's going on here? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's got to do something with our belief system. It actually does. I mean, you know, back when I was being, when I was raised, we were in church, we knew to be born again. But we didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We didn't believe in tongues. And, you know, we said, the moment you get born again, you get all the Holy Ghost there is to get. That's what we believed. But then I came to the place of knowing I wasn't believing as much as I needed to believe. So I was filled with the Holy Ghost. The evidence of speaking in tongues. And I thought, well, now I know a whole lot more than what I did, which was true. But I also realized I don't know as much as I could know. It's like now I've stepped into a higher dimension, higher level, whatever, of my Christian walk. And I understand there is more to learn. And so I began learning. Well, a lot of the things that I learned, I had to unlearn later on. But I kept pressing in, kept learning. And here's what's interesting. As I began applying these things, you know, sowing the word and, you know, the praying in tongues and so forth, I began to see some things happen. You know, I pray for people. And lo and behold, some folks got healed. You know, in the name of Jesus, you know, be healed. Ooh, it's healed. Really? No, seriously? Oh, yeah, of course it's healed. Yeah, no doubt. You know, I prayed for you. Remember that. I'm the one, me. But people began to be healed, and things began to happen. And I began to see results of my faith. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. And I'm guessing there are some of you in this room and some of you listening, it's been like that for you. In that you were born again or whatever, but there came a point in time to where you realized there's more I need to know and more I need to understand. And so you began applying things that we've read here tonight. And then you began to see things happen. Now, granted, you weren't walking on water yet, but when just think back over your life, things have taken place that before did not take place. Now things aren't taking place that can take place based on what we see in Scripture. But we're further along than what we were. And we're seeing results that before we never saw. We're seeing healing that we never saw before. There are people we've prayed for, and lo and behold, they did recover. Maybe not right, boom, that moment, that instant, but they did recover. Or we began to stand in faith and confess over our own bodies, and then a healing took place. You know, not all healings, okay, the way it's supposed to happen, the healing manifests without a doctor touching our bodies. But if my faith is not at the place of having the healing manifest without a doctor's touch, but my faith works in such a way to where a doctor figures out what my problem is and is able to help me at that point, is that not a victory? I mean, if you struggle with something for 25 years and you're praying, oh God, I want to be healed, oh God, I want to be healed, and then, but you go to a doctor and, you know, oh God, you help the doctors figure out what's going on, and now all of a sudden, after 25 years, the doctors figure out what the problem is, that's an answer to prayer. And maybe you have to go through surgery, but you know what? That's not a horrible thing. It's not like you're a faith failure. I mean, praise God. Maybe the surgery's keeping you alive a whole lot longer than what you would have lived.
Well, yeah, I got to have surgery. I just feel like I'm a faith failure. All right, you know what? The doctors figured out the problem. Praise God for that. Now pray over the doctors before you go into the surgery that the surgery is not going to be complicated, that you're going to recover quickly, etc. and so forth. And, you know, give the hallelujahs to Jesus. See, sometimes we miss our faith victories because we're expecting to go from nothing to walking on water in the blink of an eye. But it is a growth process. Now, for some reason, some people grow faster than others. Why is that? Well, you know, we could all speculate, couldn't we? Part of it has to do with unbelief, meaning, okay, how much unbelief is crawling around on the inside that's got to be dug out? See, I was raised to not believe in these things. So is it possible that some of that stuff is still, you know, snaking its way around on the inside, crawling around on the inside, you know, down, way down deep in the bottom, whatever. Are there still some roots of that? I mean, I don't know. I don't think so, but maybe so. And maybe it is through continuing to do these things that eventually all those roots are going to be, you know, completely removed. Because I know this, when I lay hands on people, they're supposed to recover. All of them, all right? That's what Jesus says. And he's my example, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So everybody that went to Jesus for prayer, for healing, whatever, I mean, they got it. Now, that's supposed to be the way it is for me. I'm not Jesus, but he said you can do my works. So I need to keep doing these things, because if God's word says do this and here's the result, then I need to keep doing that even though I'm not feeling anything on the inside. Spiritual growth is not accompanied by a physical feeling. It is spiritual growth. Now, I know sometimes emotions play a role and we can be, you know, happy and excited about things. I get that. But you know, when you sit down and you begin to pray in tongues, you can sit in a chair and pray for an hour and feel absolutely nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But yet God says when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking mysteries, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, you're edifying yourself. He says all these things are happening. Therefore, I did not feel a thing, but something had to have happened, because God said it would. So therefore, something happened. When I read my Bible, faith is coming. You know, for years, not long after Kathy and I got married, I was on staff at a church. They called me the accountant, but I'm not a CPA. I just took care of all the money. And I was full-time on staff there. And what I this was back before CDs and computers and all that. And so I had a cassette deck. How many of you know what a cassette deck is? Remember that? Okay, good. You're old like me. So I had this cassette deck that would play two tapes. You remember those? You put one tape in, and when it finishes playing, then the other one starts playing. And I had the Bible, it was actually the New Testament, on tape. So I would have this playing softly in the background the whole time I'm working, hour after hour. The Bible is being spoken into my life. And even though I wasn't consciously thinking of it, it was still just loud enough. I could hear it, but not be distracted from my work. Well, I kind of got away from that. And I have started doing this again, letting it play on my computer when I'm doing whatever. Just letting it play. Just softly in the background. In fact, I've got it on every computer. So when I quit using one computer and go someplace and I'm using another one, I just have to remember what book was I listening to, what chapter, and go and pick up where I left off. And just let the word be sown. Let the word be sown. Continually sown into my life. And if I'm listening to a sermon, obviously I'm not going to be listening to the scripture as well, but you know, I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. Now, that means change is taking place in me. But if you do the same thing, Change takes place. You pray in tongues, change is taking place. You sow the word into you, change is taking place. It is a process. And eventually, we will see results. And it wasn't until I started spending a lot of time praying in tongues that I began to see people get healed when I would pray for them. Now, 100% of the people have not been healed that I know of, that I prayed for, but enough have been healed to where it's like, you know, don't tell me this doesn't work. I want to see everybody healed. I want to see everybody. I want to see everything happen. But even if I'm not seeing everything happen, I know this. I keep doing what I read. I keep applying this, and change is taking place. And I'm building up this storehouse of spiritual development so it's ready when I need it. I don't expect to have some kind of a, you know, halo around my head. You know, the pictures, the paintings of Jesus, where he's got this halo around his head. Okay, I'm not going to have that. I get it. But the development will be there. This is one of the reasons why Satan sent his personal messenger to the Apostle Paul to hinder him, to try and stop him because of the revelations he was receiving. So Paul is spending this time, he's praying in tongues and so forth, and he begins teaching people these principles. And Satan doesn't want this out there. Well, too late. It's there in the Word of God. Worst thing we can do is say, well, that was for then, it's not for now. No, it's for now. It works. It absolutely works. And as long as I do this, the change is going to take place. Look over in Galatians chapter 6. See, even if, you know, have you ever heard the saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again? Well, you know what? That's true in the body of Christ. If at first you don't see people getting healed, don't stop praying for them. I mean, what? If you don't pray for them, who will? You know, don't stop. Pray for them. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He's not talking here about sowing big offerings. How can I give money and that's sowing to my spirit? See, that doesn't even make sense. But when I, you know, Mark chapter 4:14, you know, sower sows the word. I sow to my spirit. I'm praying in tongues. I'm sowing to my spirit. See, these things are working in me to produce. Now, he says you're going to reap life everlasting. Well, don't think in terms of, I get to go to heaven when I die. But think in terms of, out of me is going to flow the life of God when I minister to people and they're going to be healed. That anointing of life, that anointing of healing, that anointing of deliverance is going to operate through me, whether I feel anything or not. You know, I've heard people talk about when they pray for folks who are sick that, you know, they feel heat and they feel tingling in their hands and what all. I've never felt anything like that. When I've prayed, and I've prayed for people, and healing is manifested. There are times when healing's manifested right when I prayed for them. But I've never felt anything. And I've had people tell me, oh, when you laid hands on me, I felt, you know, and they talk about what they felt. I didn't feel anything. So I really can't relate to what you're saying. If you tell me you felt something, well, okay, praise God, you felt something. But I didn't lay hands on you to feel anything. I lay hands on you for you to be healed. And so I keep doing this, and, you know, I have a prayer line of 30 people. Well, let's say 20 don't get healed, but 10 do. Well, praise God for the 10 that did. Next time, maybe it'll be 15 and 15. Next, eventually, it'll be all 30. Because I keep sowing to my spirit, and I'm going to reap these things
these spiritual promises, this spiritual anointing, this spiritual guarantees, everything that God says, it's going to happen. Now, how does this apply, you know, to us as far as the church is concerned? Well, you have to keep praying, and you have to keep worshiping, and you have to keep confessing. You can't stop. Look, I'll be honest with you that, you mean finally, after three nights, you're going to be honest with them? The church where I'm pastoring, I thought by now we'd be running hundreds of people. I thought by now we'd have waved goodbye to our existing building a long time ago. Well, it hasn't happened that way. And so, look, I can tell you right now, a lot of pastors, man, they'd have left years ago. They'd have packed up and gone. But I can't do that. And the reason I can't do that is because that's where God has me. That's where I have been assigned. So you know what? That's where I stay. That's where I am. But I do believe that the church will grow. I still believe that. But I'm going to continue to do what I do and continue to believe and continue to confess and continue to declare, because I know that there are people in the area where we live that would benefit from what we have to offer in our church. I believe that. Well, likewise, the same thing is true here. You know, it's not like you had to spend a lot of time tonight trying to find a seat. You pretty much had your choice. But does that mean that there's nothing here to offer? No, it doesn't. You know, there are people out there who need what's happening in this church. And because of where this church is located and the entire population of this area, easily 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in this region need what's happening in this church. Easily. Easily. There are people in churches that don't need to be in their church because their church is not meeting their needs. But if they were to come here, they could receive the kind of ministry they're not receiving in the church they're currently attending. That's why we cannot be weary in well-doing. We simply can't. The flesh gets tired of it. The flesh says nothing's happening, so you're wasting your time. How can you be wasting your time when you're spending it in fellowship with God? Remember the whole thing of the wisdom and the patience? You know, you want to get outside of wisdom and patience? Just start all kinds of programs. Just do something that's going to be attractive to the flesh and emotions to get people in. Well, hopefully, the right people are going to come in that won't cause problems in the church. But all too often, that's not the case. Well, if we just reach one, if we just reach one, I've heard that so many times. Seriously? We're going to spend our entire lives pressing into God and only one person gets reached? It'll all be worth it for just one soul. Well, if we can reach one, can't we reach two? If we can reach two, can't we reach 10? Do you understand what I'm saying? What happens is, it's like we want to dismiss everything and grab a hold of these religious cliches and claim those as our victories. No, no, no. There's far more to it than that. Far more to it. That's why we can't give up. We have to keep doing what we know to do. We have to keep pressing in and sowing to the Spirit. Because when we do, things are happening whether we feel it or not. Things are happening. In the Old Testament, remember that? Jehoshaphat, the armies of Israel, they thought they were done for. But, you know, God said, nope, you go out there and Judah went first. Remember that? And so they're praising the Lord. In the natural, that's stupid. When you go into battle, you don't send a bunch of flute players. You don't send people with a piccolo, right? You send people out there have some kind of a weapon, a bazooka or something. But then when they get to the battlefield, the enemy is dead. And they didn't have to do anything. All they did was praise God. All they did was worship God. And the victory was won. It took 3 days to carry the spoils back home. We can't give up. We can't stop. We can't become weary in the well-doing, no matter what our flesh tells us, no matter what our emotions scream. God's word is true, and what we read tonight, it works, and so therefore, we keep going. Remember what happened? There were about 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, but if you've read there in the book of Acts, Jesus appeared to over 500 people. Where were all the others? You telling me nobody else heard about tarry ye in Jerusalem? No. For whatever reason, they weren't there. But about 120 were. And because they tarried and because they continued to press in the way they could at that time, guess what? The day came and thousands of people got born again in one day. So don't give up. Don't stop. The word of God works. It cannot fail. Praise the Lord. Well, go ahead and stand. And I want to do something a little special here tonight. In closing, I'd like everybody to come up and just stand up front here. I'm going to do something here that I did when I was down in Florida at Pastor Bronx's church. I'm going to declare a blessing over you, and I just want you to listen to this. I'm going to wait for everybody to get up here. Praise God. And I don't want you to focus on me. I want you to, if you're comfortable doing so, close your eyes, listen to this, and receive it. Father, I pray that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Please grant unto us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And this I pray, that our love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that we may approve things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto you, Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now unto you, who is doing exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, be glory in our lives, ministries, and church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.
Praise God. Receive that. Receive that. Receive it. And just for your information, that prayer, that confession, that declaration came from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, and Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Turn that into your own confession, because, praise God, that's powerful and it works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.